Hey guys, it's Selena. Just here to give you guys a little preview of or a little information about our next podcast. And I want to tell everyone thank you who have been listening and supporting. I really appreciate it. Also, I like to say that I would like for you also to go check me out and look for some things on other social media platforms. All of, you know, Twitter, what's the other, Instagram, and all of the social media platforms, it's the same name, Selena Samone. It's spelled S-A-L-I-N-A-S-A-M-O-N-E. And I have some good news, great news. You know, we have some music coming out. I think probably like 4 or 5 new songs coming out that are going to be released very soon. So please look out for those things. Excuse me. And the YouTube channel is always up and running, so you guys go check those things out. And also my Cash App, in case you guys want to donate to the, you know, to the family, donate to the support the movement. It's hashtag Selena Samone. I mean, hashtag, that is the cash sign, you know, Selena Samone, one word. And so this next topic we're going to be talking about is polygamy. Okay, I think we may have touched on those things, touched on the idea of it in the previous podcasts, but this time we're going to go in depth with it. And I really want you guys to tune in. I really want you to listen, because I'm going to have a special guest, and I like to look at him as a relationship guru. Okay, he's very educated, very well-rounded, and very, very well-versed on, you know, the matters of relationships and those of that which are, you know, surrounded by polygamy, and, you know, how things have worked out for him in his experience with polyamorous relationships. Okay, I'm looking at getting another guest speaker in or to come in so we can actually converse. But you know, I always love for you guys. I'm going to try to put a phone number out for you guys to call in case you want to call in and ask him or myself any questions about the topic, or, you know, just give your opinion. You know, I love to engage with you guys. So please, I look forward to putting this podcast together for you guys, and please stay tuned. I will give you guys dates and times very soon. Enjoy the rest of your evening or morning. I love you. Hey guys, what's going on? It's Selena. Today's topic is going to be on love and relationships. So once again, this is a continuation, but this is a different kind of love and relationship. We're talking about the family dynamic here. We're going to touch on that. And also, I want to talk about a relationship situation between a couple that I can give both sides of the perspective on. So hopefully by hearing that story as an example, you can maybe learn something from it, and, you know, so to make your own personal relationships a lot more successful. So we're talking about the family dynamic. We're going to start there. So the one thing that I think is very important for people to, a concept that is important for people to understand and grasp, is that the dynamics in which we grew up in are normally and generally the dynamics that we call forth into our lives as we grow up into adulthood. So what that means is basically the dynamics between a brother and a sister, or a sister and a sister, or the dynamic between a mother and their child, or a father and their child, are kind of teaching us and conditioning us as we grow on what we see. Really, also, it happens like this on a subconscious level. You know, we see what is going on, and we feel like this is what, you know, love is, or this is what, how I'm supposed to be treated, this is what I deserve, and you know what I'm saying? Those kind of things. Those are kind of conditioned and instilled within us, you know? So just be aware of that. That's a thing that is very important concept. It's an important concept for us to grasp, you know? So that's what we're gonna kind of touch on, okay? I'm going to give a couple of examples in order for you to understand what exactly this is that I'm speaking of. So you have the girl, or the feminine energy, or the submissive one in the relationship. You know, this might be a friend of yours, it might be you, it might be a cousin or relative or whatever have you. And this person shows up to work or shows up at the party or whatever with the black eye or a busted lip or whatever the case might be. And you wonder why this person always continues to go back, you know, to that abusive situation, that's such a toxic situation, you know, and that's when the inner work starts. You know, that's when you have to look at yourself and ask yourself, why is that something that a person is tolerating? Why is that something that a person would want to have in their life, you know? But with that, it might be a situation where the person that was being abused grew up in an abusive household, obviously. That's, you know, what people would say or think. But it wouldn't have been, you know, you would automatically think, oh, it's the parents of that person who they were raised around, you know, a home where the parents were fighting and the father beat the mother, or the mother beat the mother, or what have you. Or if I said mother beat the father, I'm not sure what I say. But yeah, so sometimes it could be something other than that. Sometimes it could be the only person that that person really looked up to and loved was the one that actually beat them up, or, and it could have been an older sibling or a younger sibling, or a, you know what I mean, someone close to them, and for them on a subconscious level, that is what they equate love to. They don't, you know, they'll get in a situation where they don't get abused, so they feel that person, you know, on a subconscious level, or even on a conscious level, they think to themselves, well, they're not getting beat up, so they might not, that person doesn't really love them, so they end up, you know, kind of pushing that person away and seeking out the one that's gonna give them what they've been conditioned in having to receiving. And, you know, that's when you have to do the self work. Why am I accepting this? Why am I allowing this to go on in my life? What, you know, I love myself. I know I love myself, but, you know, why am I accepting these things? Well, it's because you've been conditioned to feel as though that's what your subconscious equates to love. That's what you are used to. You know, that's what you have been, I want to say, use another word other than conditioned. That's what you have been programmed, okay? That's a good one. Programmed to feel and think that is what is equated to love, okay? So we have that situation. Then you may have, I will use another example, like a mother and their child. So the mother basically doesn't show any interest, doesn't, you know, basically has the child, that gives the child the basic necessities, you know, that they need in order to, you know, survive and be presentable out in society. That may consist of, you know, dinner, clothes, whatever. And, you know, there are no hugs, there are no kisses, you know, there are no words of encouragement. There's no speaking life into that child. That child. child is basically there, you know, living under the same roof with no actual connection with that mother. But all the while seeking out, what is the word I'm looking for? Seeking out, what do you call it? What's the word I'm looking for? Validation, yes. Seeking out validation, seeking out, okay, what's the other word? There's validation. There is, I'm sorry, guys, please forgive me. I've lost my word. The one that I want to use. Well, okay, so we'll move on. So seeking out validation, reassurance, you know, seeking out the affectionate type of love that you would receive from a mother. And but they would always be disappointed to, you know, say, for example, they do a project at work and, you know, want to show their mother to get that approval. That's the word I'm looking for. They get that approval from their mother or that person that they look up to. They kind of view as their hero and are disappointed every time when the mother is just kind of like, oh, it's all right, you know, or doesn't even acknowledge it, you know. That's when that person will start to, or that's when that child will start to view themselves as one who isn't good enough or is lackluster or isn't worthy of the time or, you know, the patience or worthy of the text message, the phone call, the hugs, the kisses, the words of encouragement, even acknowledgement, you know. So that means that's a cycle because that child will go back to that mother seeking out those things, that validation, and get disappointed every time because they've placed expectations on the mother on how a mother should act, how a mother should be, and when the mother doesn't fill up to those or live up to those expectations, that always is going to cause a disappointment for the child, you know. So growing up in their adulthood, still on the subconscious level, attract in those same type of situations. So that's when you get the toxic relationships. That's where these toxic relationships come from. Now, say, for example, you have a sister, a baby sister, or a little sister that sees their older brother doing well at what they do, you know, being successful in their endeavors, you know. And that's what they may, in the dynamic between them two, is good. So they'll model that dynamic in their relationship outside of the family, like their more intimate relationships, because that's what we do, you know. Even friendships, our newer friends, you may find that your newer friends have the same disposition or the same even zodiac sign as the best friend before, or the someone that you grew up with, whether it be a sister or brother, cousin, or mother. So that's basically what I kind of wanted to touch on. I don't want to make this too long when it comes to dynamic family dynamics. Because they can really run deep. And it's really about more placing expectation on people. Like, you know, in labeling people. Like, you put a label on it. Like, this is my aunt. This is my uncle. This is my cousin. This is my whatever. And those are labels that we put on people. Then with those labels comes expectations. I expect my mother to, or I expect a mother to do X, Y, and Z. I expect a mother to, do and say and whatever you expect what what the label you have given. And those people sometimes cannot live up to those expectations. Sometimes they don't even have within them what is necessary to even process what you expect them to be like as the label you've given them. So that's when we kind of perpetuate the vicious cycle of expectation and disappointment and, you know, sadness. That's how that comes about, because of the disappointment. But once you get to know yourself, you learn about yourself, you learn about the way you are, then that's when you can go back to yourself and go do the work. You know, the self-work. You know, why am I attracting these type of situations? Oh, I need to go back to the drawing board and figure out how to deprogram myself so that I can attract a better love situation or even friendships. So I'm going to leave that part off there. Hope that was able to shine some light for somebody and make them or help them to understand themselves better. Okay? So I hope this was able to help someone. Please, if you guys have any questions, please feel free to call me, or probably not call me, but feel free to send me an email and I will definitely get back with you. I love to hear you guys' comments and your questions and, you know, suggestions and ideas. And I thank you so much, guys, for listening. The other thing we want to talk about is, well, I changed my mind, but let's not even go there yet. I'll let you guys know when the next podcast will be on. Okay. I love you guys very much. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Please remember, there's all the social media platforms, all of the music apps and music platforms we have things on. We have also tarot reading is going to be pushed a lot more prominently as well. The creative part of you showing up, which is awesome. So anyways, nevertheless, we have Salina Simone, that's SalinaSamone 2020 at gmail.com. That's the way you can email me. Everything else, you should be able to just give Google the same name, and I think you'll be fine. Okay? So I look forward to hearing from you guys. This is that. So the way this situation started out was very much, I had a boyfriend already who was locked up. And for me, with that situation with him and I, it was very much, we pretty much did everything together. We were together all the time. He didn't want a relationship at the time, but we still did everything like we were a couple, you know. He basically lived in my apartment. We spent every day together. We went grocery shopping together. Like, we were basically a couple. He just didn't want to, you know, give me the title, which I had to deal with. I dealt with. Continued that relationship with him. And one day, all of a sudden, you know, he was already out, you know, on probation or whatever, and he ended up getting pulled over, make a long story short, and he ended up going to jail. So for me, when he went to jail, of course, I was there with him, probably the only person that was able to, you know, help him to get to, you know, make the connections he needed to make, talk to his mother, and let his mother know what was going on, and so on and so forth. But that's when he decided he wanted to, you know, make our relationship official once he was behind bars. I went with it, went along with it. But at the same time, you know, before he got locked up, he was still, you know, doing his thing, had other little girlfriends and, you know, flings every now and then. But he spent majority of his time with me. So, you know, that was that. So I did my thing. When he got locked up, I still had my little guy friends and, you know. But for me, I still felt it was necessary to respect him and make sure that I did what I could to, you know, help him out and hold him down while he was locked up. But in the midst of this, I had a number of guy friends that would come around, you know, check on me, make sure, because I was living alone, you know, come around and check on me and sometimes spend a night with me or whatever and whatever. And that's how I basically coped with, you know, the feelings of abandonment from my boyfriend getting locked up. That's how I coped with it. And this went on for months. And then probably, I think, 2 months maybe before my boyfriend actually got out, I met a guy. And he basically, you know, bullied his way into my life, into my world, you know, made all my other friends, you know, ran all them off and, you know, basically became, he lived with me after a while. We lived together. That's not initially what I wanted, you know, and he doesn't like to hear me say this, but you know, it's the truth. You know, it's my truth. I didn't want a relationship with him to begin with. You know, I just wanted to, you know, really I was wanting to just help out a friend who needed a place to stay. And he took that as we were together. For me, I'm like, no, I'm not, you know, I don't want a monogamous relationship with you. I have a boyfriend that's locked up. You know, that's who I want to be with. I'm helping you out right now. When my boyfriend gets out, you're going to have to leave. He figured something out. But in the midst time, in the meantime, between time, he wasn't going for that. You know, he basically was like, you're my girlfriend, you know, and running anybody off that came in trying to, you know, show me any affection, any type of anything. So, so that's when we, you know, the arguments came about in the fights and stuff like that, because I'm like, I don't want this. I don't want to be in a relationship with you, you know. But over time, you know, I would still be like, listen, I'm still going to have my friends over and I'm still going to do what I want to do. This is my apartment. This is my place. I'm allowing you to live with me, you know, and I'm not going to put you out. But if I want to have company over, if I want to do whatever I want to do, that's what I want to do. And obviously, you know, him having feelings for me, that, you know, me having guys over and doing what I wanted to do was hurting him, was hurting his feelings, you know. It was taking, you know, shots at him. It was hurting him. And, you know, over time, you know, I started to care more and more about him and caring that it was hurting him. And I did not want to continue hurting him that way, you know. So I just kind of allowed the relationship to morph into more of what he wanted it to be. And we had some really good times together. But things started to change. And, you know, the relationship kind of developed in a way to where we would end up being, you know, violent toward one another. So then the toxicity came in, you know. I think I wanted to do things the way I wanted to do them. And, you know, he didn't like that so much. And, you know, he tried to, I guess, steer me in a way, or trying to control the situation or control me a little bit more than I liked. And I think that's another place where a lot of the problems came in. There were times when, you know, things were really good between us. Sometimes we make beautiful music together, great artwork. He taught me a lot about, you know,
computers and technology and electronics, and that's where he kind of we came out of common ground. You know, that was the place where he actually inspired me to even want to go back to school for cyber security. And again, like I said, I learned a lot from him. He taught me a lot. Very intelligent guy. Had wonderful times together. I can't sit there and try to, you know, run him down like he's just the worst person in the world. You know, he has, you know, issues of his own, which we all do. And things just end up taking a turn for the worse. To where I end up going to jail for 2 months. He went to jail for 2 weeks prior. I think a month prior to me going to jail for 2 months. And I lost everything behind this. I lost my apartment. I lost everything I had. I get back to my apartment after when I got out of jail. And all of my electronics were gone. All of my, you know, studio equipment, all of my microphones, my lighting, all that stuff was gone, stolen out of my apartment. And still, I don't know who took those things. I don't know. They wouldn't even allow me to make a police report about it. It was really, really crazy. I still have yet to get a lot of answers about that, but nonetheless, you know, I lost everything, after which then I got, you know, by me being locked up for 2 months, I ended up getting evicted, and so became homeless. All of my belongings I had to leave behind because court orders for us to be separated, and we tried to separate, and it was just like we kept somehow linking back up, and it was just we couldn't do it, you know, and it became so difficult for me to just separate myself from him and break things off, to where it even became scary. So there's the next episode that we'll be talking about how him and I both end up getting charges against one another, and you know how we both ended up in jail.